is God. That's one thing that we never take for granted, that everybody's saved where we go. We just know that God wants everybody to come to know Him. That's what the Word says. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, the question is, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? If God would take you out, He would call you home today, or you would die today, do you know where you'd end up? Look, it's either heaven or hell. It's one of the two. There's no in between. And there are a lot of people here that we know that you know the Lord. And hallelujah. But perhaps you have never come to that point where you've asked Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. You're lost without Him. You need Him. You need Him. And it's a free gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a free gift. And God wants to give it to you. And who is it for? It's for everyone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did this for you. If you were to die today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? What a question. I've asked that question I don't know how many times. And there are people, I've asked them face to face, and they say, well, some would say, yes, I know I'm saved. There is such a thing as assurance of salvation. You can know that you're saved and have assurance of that. One of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:11-12, and it said, this is the testimony. This testimony is, you know, I've said this 1,000 times, and this is a testimony. How's it go? Anybody know? And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So to have life, you need to have the Son. So today, do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? Would everybody just bow their heads right now and close their eyes? And we're not here to embarrass anybody. But this is such an important question. And Crystal's songs, just the Lord used them just to really speak to me that it's time now. And who am I talking to right now? I'm talking to the children, the teenagers, the mums and dads, the grandmothers, the grandfathers. How about you? Would you like to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? To receive the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross, that He shed His blood for you to take away your sins, to pay that penalty for you. You need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior if you're going to see heaven someday. And besides that, we all need a firm foundation while we're living down here. Someone to count on, someone to rely on. And He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your foundation. And He wants to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to forgive you your sin and to give you a fresh start in life. I'm going to ask this question. You're here today. And God's been speaking to you. And you're not sure where you'd go if you died. But you want to be sure. And you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I just want, and everybody's heads are bowed and everybody's eyes are closed. If you're here today and you want to give your heart to the Lord, that you want to be sure if you left this place, you'd be ushered into the arms of Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. Put your hand up so I can see it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, put your hands down. Is there anybody else? 4 people this morning have... asked Christ to come into their life. Are there any more? You're here today because God loves you. There's no question about it. And he has a plan for your life. Is there anybody else who would raise their hand and say, yes, Herbie, I too want to give my heart to the Lord? What we're going to do right now is, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is we're going to say a prayer. And I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. It doesn't matter if you're saved, because it won't hurt you to say it no how. Because raising your hand doesn't get you saved. Asking Jesus into your heart does. And maybe someone will say this prayer that means it. Amen? That means it. That didn't raise their hand. Because God knows the intent of the heart. And he wants you to come into his family. So let's say this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. And ask you, Jesus, to forgive my sin. Jesus, please come into my heart to be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart, for forgiving my sin, and giving me a fresh start in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you to come and see me after the service, because I want to give you a brand new Bible and I want to pray with you. And even if you said that prayer and didn't raise your hand and you meant it, you're now saved. And I want you to come to the front after the service. I want to pray for you. Let's give Jesus a hand, shall we? Let's give God a hand. Not very often I give the altar call in the beginning, but whatever God wants, amen? He's in control, I'm not. I want to talk on a few things today, and for those of you who just gave your heart to the Lord, things are going to begin to make sense now. Because where before maybe you didn't understand very much, now the Holy Spirit lives inside you, and he's the one that illuminates the teachings of Jesus and enables us to understand the Word of God. And something very special is going to happen in your life right now. One thing that... there's a number of things that gets God's attention. Well, there's people that try to get God's attention over the years doing all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, you could ask all the elders or the deacons or a handful of preachers what they think get God's attention, and they would probably have a different list than I have. But I think one of the things that gets God's attention is salvation. Because what happened is that was broken when Adam and Eve sinned. That fellowship with God was broken. And the only thing that's going to reunite that fellowship with the Lord was Jesus, the finished work of the cross and the resurrection. And we've already talked about this verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Acts 2:21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And 2 Peter 3:9, one of my favorite verses, "The Lord is not slack concerning his slackness," or "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance." It's God's wish and plan that every man, woman, child would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Luke 15:10 says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels and God over one sinner who repents." And for the 4+ people who gave their heart to the Lord, there's a party in heaven right now. Praise God. Another thing that gets God's attention, I believe, is obedience. In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me..." I've heard people misquote this verse, right? "If you love me and if you keep my commandments," that's not what it says. "If you love me, keep my commandments," right? And I looked up in the Bible, you know, in my little computer thing there, and the Bible, the key word, obey, right? It shows up over 108 times. From Genesis to 1 Peter, and it says, obey my voice, obey his voice, obey me, obey the commandments, obey and serve him, obey God, obey the truth, obey the word, obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on and on and on. Obedience is an issue to God. And blessings follow obedience. Another thing that gets God's attention, I believe, and we're only just touching on these right now, is prayer and fasting. I believe this is a tool God has given us to fight spiritual warfare, to break through walls of spiritual strongholds. It can be a spiritual cleansing to hear God's voice clearly. And as we look up, Matthew 17:21, and Jesus told his disciples that certain kinds of deliverance only can come through much prayer and fasting, right? And if we look at the temptation of Jesus, where when he was hungry and he appeared to be weak by Satan, and that's when the enemy usually attacks us the most, when we're at our weakest, but also says that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, a more lasting and eternal strength to attain victory through obedience to the word of God, where Jesus repeatedly responds, right, to the temptation by saying, it is written, for it is written, or as it has been said, all pointing to the word of God. Hallelujah. Another thing that I believe that gets God's attention is praise and worship, right? It says he inhabits the praises of his people, right? It says in John 12:32, it says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And as we take the time and lift the name of Jesus, people are drawn to him. It becomes a supernatural, natural thing. Things in a believer's life, we call them supernatural, but they should be natural to us. And we should expect to see people drawn to God when we lift the name of Jesus. It's praise. And I looked up praise in my little Bible computer thing. Praise is mentioned 237 times from Genesis to Revelation, mostly referring to God and Jesus, right? And it goes on to say, I will praise him. He is your praise. I will sing praise to the Lord of Israel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise and thanksgiving to God. Praise. Just the word praise. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. I will praise you forever. Praise your name. Let heaven and earth praise him. And I will praise you yet more and more. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Do we get the message? Praising the Lord is a wonderful thing. And funny thing, when we are caught up in praising the Lord, guess what happens? There's no complaining. It's like the opposite. You can't complain and praise God at the same time. Although some people may try. That's another message. Another thing that gets God's attention, I believe, is faith. A working faith, a fruit-bearing faith, obtaining a good testimony through faith. Now, when I say the word faith, I mean, it conjures up a lot of things. We have a lot of people from a range of life here, and position and occupation, all that stuff. So when I say faith, your thought of faith may be different than yours. So I wrote some things down. Maybe when you hear the word faith, these are some of the things you think about, depending on God. Maybe when I say faith, you think, well, someone just depending on God. How about trusting and obeying when we say the word faith? Or not walking by sight. Or when you hear the word faith, maybe you think of missionaries or pastors or evangelists. Or maybe when I say the word faith, you think of people that have no money. Or maybe when I say the word faith, you think of people who don't know any better. Or desperate people, or weak people, or poor people. But how about George Mueller? Anybody know about George Mueller? Famous guy, evangelist, pastor, tremendous testimony of faith, and we probably have books in our library about George Mueller. Check it out. How about when I say faith, you think of a Bible school student, right? Kevin Tomalty, maybe think of him when there's faith, going off to Africa. Maybe when I say the word faith, you think of Jesus or Moses or Peter, Paul, David, Daniel, some of the great men in the Word of God. Or maybe when I say the word faith, you think, well, it's for somebody else. I've had people say, well, I don't need faith, I've got money. regardless of what our minds conjure up, we need to take hold of what the Bible says. Amen? We need to take hold of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, 1, there's an explanation for faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And what does God have to say about faith anyway? Faith is a big thing to God, I'm going to tell you right now. Because it says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God does not stutter. When He says He is twice, He's trying to get the point across. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And you've heard me say this before. I looked up the word seek, and it said with explanation for seek is with painstaking effort. We need to seek the Lord with painstaking effort. You know, seeking, you lose something, and you're looking for it, and you're taking all your energy to find it, and you've resolved that you're not going to stop until you find this thing that you've lost. That's like really seeking. But we say we seek the Lord, and we're really trying to come into His presence, but we only spend a very little time with Him in His Word and on our knees. That's really not seeking the Lord. It's kind of having a melancholy walk with God. And God doesn't want us to have a lighthearted attitude with Him. He wants us to get in His face. And that's what it's all about. Knowing Jesus has nothing to do with rules and regulations. It has to do with relationship. And if you're going to have a good relationship with somebody, you need to spend time with them to build that relationship. Crystal and I have a good relationship because we communicate back and forth, right? When she talks, I listen, and when I talk, she listens. You got the point. You got the point. You need to spend time together to have a relationship. And we need to diligently seek the Lord. And again, if we would take our time and praise Him, if we would take our time and seek the Lord, a lot of these other things that have distracted the church would fall away. Because our focus wouldn't be on ourselves, our focus wouldn't be on our problems, our focus would be Him. And for a believer's life, our focus needs to be Him. Some people say, man, I wish I had more faith. Anybody here want more faith? I wish I had more faith. You can get it. In Romans 3:10-17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're really seeking the Lord and you want your faith to increase, my answer to you is this: get in the Word. Get in the Word. And again, if we're in the Word, we're going to be focusing on something totally different than other things that the devil's trying to distract us with. Wow. And this is one of my favorite, I got lots of favorite verses. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 4:2, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. I want to say this again. Listen to this. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Right? It didn't profit them because they didn't mix the faith in there. See, faith is like the glue in a Christian's life. It's got to be it's an important part of the recipe, faith. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. But faith, it's impossible to please God without faith. And we have to mix faith in it. And what's happened is we as believers can become so practical, and so practical that we only want to walk by what we see and what we touch, that we forget that we serve a supernatural God and He's into doing some new supernatural stuff. And Jesus even said, it's better that I go, because if I don't go, He won't come. And He was referring to the Holy Spirit. He said, greater things will you do than me. And whatever the Father's given me, I give to you freely. Church, when are we going to get a hold of this? And again, if we concentrate on this and then the distractions that the enemy is putting at the churches today, it would not be an issue. Because we're going to be focused on the Lord. And we're going to be trusting in His Word. And believing that He has a purpose and He has a plan. And just like they did when the disciples were falling asleep, when Jesus wanted them to stay awake and pray. Listen, when God starts something, He finishes it. And either we're going to be part of it or we're not. We can choose to be part of the solution or part of the problem. In any case, Jesus is still coming back. God's still going to touch lives. He's going to heal multitudes. He's going to save millions. Either we're going to be part of it or not. And that's why we need to mix faith in with it. So anything that's coming in between us and God that's attacking our ability to faith, we need to nip it in the bud. We need to say, that's enough of that, because I'm going to serve the Lord. And so we have verses like John 3:16. You know, I'm going to say this again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can read those verses. We can put them on the wall. We can crochet them. We can write them on a cake. But unless we apply them to our life by faith, it's not going to go the distance. And we look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9, which is one of my favorite verses. I got lots of favorite verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Are you out there? And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What a wonderful thing. Did you hear? It's a gift of God. This is something He's given us because He loves us. For those of you today that have given your heart to Jesus, you've just received the most important gift that was ever given. It's a gift. So many people are trying to earn it and trying to buy it. This is free from the Lord. It's a gift. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. People like to get attention of themselves, you know. I may have told the story before, but there's a lot of new people here. Years ago, we were in New Brunswick doing an evangelistic campaign. We were in an Anglican church, and we were downstairs moving chairs all around, you know, and the pastor was down there, and we were moving chairs. I was helping moving chairs around. John, the guy that was helping the pastor, he was working so hard, the sweat was just beating off his face, and all of a sudden, the pastor said, John! John looked up, and he just all red and sweaty, and I just kind of stopped, and I wanted to get in this conversation. He said, John. He said, yes, Pastor. He says, don't think you're going to heaven just because you're moving some chairs. Some people think, you know, I'm going to get God's attention. I'm going to give more, or I'm going to do this and do that and do this and do that and try to work my way to heaven. It's not the way it works, buddy. It's a free gift of God. But you got to activate your faith. It's by faith, grace. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith has got to be mixed into it. Without it, it's not going to work. And there are perhaps even other people here that have yet to give your heart to the Lord. And it's my prayer before you leave this church that you would see the value in knowing Jesus, that He loves you, that He wants what's best for you. He wants to put your feet on solid foundation. With the world that's changing today, you can't count on anything, but you can count on the Lord. It says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Don't you want to put your faith and trust in someone who loves you? In such a way, He just didn't tell us. Crystal says, you know, people say, I love you. And she says, well, actions speak louder than words. I want to tell you right now, the actions that Jesus did spoke louder than words. And then you can hear about the wonders as Christians and believers. We can hear about the wonders of God and all the promises He has for us. But unless we activate our faith and apply them to our life, they're not going to go the distance. 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear have heard. There I go again. The things that I have prepared, But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which I have prepared for those who love me. Amen? And we say, well, that's talking about heaven. Well, what's wrong with that? Tell them, what's wrong with heaven? Nothing. But I too believe as we live down here on earth, God wants to expand our territory. He wants to expand our vision. God just does not want ordinary. We're not, as believers, we're not to be ordinary people. And people say, well, you don't look ordinary. Well, that's besides the point. But we as believers are not to be ordinary people. We're to be special. We're special. It says, come out from among them and be separate. I think that was one of the main verses of the Brethren Church when they began. Come out from among them and be separate. You know, for what reason? To honor God. To glorify the Lord. Amen? God has great things in store for His church. Things we haven't seen, things we haven't heard. But we have to activate our faith. And we have to put ourselves in a position to hear the voice of God, right? To hear the voice of God and to move in obedience on what He tells us to do. Blessings follow obedience. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's the question. You know, people say, I can't do that. That's impossible for me. We got a whole hockey sock full of paper out there with lists on it out there, things that we need people to sign up for the church. Your chance to serve the Lord. Oh, I'll do it if nobody else wants to. Don't bother. If nobody else will do it, I guess I will. Don't bother. And you're thinking, well, I might like to do that, but I don't know if I can. Well, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We think just because we haven't been to school or Bible school or seminary that God can't use us, and those are lies from the pits of hell. What about the Holy Spirit? Isn't the Holy Ghost given to us as our teacher? We can get gifts and we can develop those gifts and help people grow in those gifts, but don't think for a moment that God cannot supernaturally empower you to accomplish His purpose. The Holy Ghost can just use you in such a powerful way and take you to places you never thought you'd ever go and give you the ability to move out by faith as never before. You can't underestimate the power of God. So if God's put on your heart to go out there and sign a piece of paper, just do it. And there are people here that will help you. That's why God's given us the church. I think we're supposed to help each other, aren't we? Isn't that part of the deal? That we're supposed to encourage each other and help each other grow in the admonition of the Lord? And there are people here that, look at, one of the things when we first came to church here, I kind of was intimidated by the spiritual maturity of the believers in this church. I when they stood up in the first service and began to expound on Scripture, and I just sat there. I said, man, I don't want to get up. I said, these guys really know the Lord, and they know their Bibles, and they love God. And I said, this is where I want to be. I shared this with Peter we prayed before church, and I shared this with Peter. One time I was out in the parking lot with a friend, right? And this guy, he was kind of I kind of hang around with crazy guys, and this guy just loves Jesus. We'll just be in a restaurant and start singing a gospel song, and that's the way he is. But anyway, we're out in the parking lot, and he's like this. He's got his hands like this. He says, Herbie. I said, yes, Bob. He says, can you feel it? Can you feel it? I said, what are you feeling, Bob? He says, the presence of God. Those are the kind of people I want to hang around. Those are the kind of people that I count it a privilege to rub shoulders with. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And one of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah chapter 29. You know, it was almost We've almost been in the ministry going on our 18th year, and I went to college here 3 years before we got in the ministry, and so we were in this church when God sent us out, and for some of you remember, Murray and Marby, you remember, and Don and Kathy, there's many, Chuck and Donna, and many of you remember when God called us out into full-time ministry. It's like he took it, put us in a cannon and shot us out of this cannon. It happened so fast. But God had been preparing us ever since we were children to go in full-time ministry. It just happened to be while we were in this church. And I said, Lord, would you give me some Bible verses, right? And those Bible verses were in, Isaiah, right? Isaiah 41:10. And for those of you who may, you know, be a little frightened or nervous about doing something in church or doing a job, we got to remember who we serve. Because this is what the Lord says in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. That's the kind of God we serve. And He doesn't want us to fear, but he wants us to trust him, right? In the Jeremiah where I was going to read before it, 29, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's not only talking about heaven, it's talking about down here, amen, with him. And then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Wow. Praise God. So, you know, either we're going to be believing believers or unbelieving believers, having some form of godliness, but, you know, denying the power. What a waste of time that is. It's like in Newfoundland. We go to Newfoundland and do ministry over there, and there's so many people who give to the church that don't go to church. They're only getting a part blessing. The principles of God work for everyone. Amen? But they're only getting a part blessing by just giving, where they could give their heart to Jesus and receive the full blessing by faith. We need to receive the promises of God by faith, to be under his protection by faith, to experience freedom in Christ by faith, right? The power to witness of him and for him. It's all about faith. In Romans 8:11 it says, But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to you, your mortal bodies, through the spirit who dwells in you. That same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in each and every one of us that were believers. We need to know who we are in Christ. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, please. It's pretty quiet here this morning. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Let's read this together. I'm reading out of a New King James in case you're curious. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day which he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. May God truly bless the reading of his powerful word. So here we find them, they are all together. Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, right, the Holy Spirit, which he said, You have heard from me. And there's many places in the Bible where it was prophesied the coming of the Holy Ghost. Jesus went on to say that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Prophecy was unfolding before their very eyes just as it is today. Prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes today. And you have to be blind not to see that. Jesus announced the coming of the Promised One directed to his disciples with an appointed time not many days from now. You know how special this is? You know this Holy Spirit I've been talking about all these weeks, and it's been prophesied in the Old Testament and so on and so forth, is coming in a couple of days. And how did the disciples respond? Well, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And it says here that they were looking to see the Messiah set up as his new kingdom on earth. And it talked about that in Ezekiel and Joel, connecting the coming of the kingdom with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as promised. That could have been what they were referring to, but it also could have been that they were curious what their position was going to be in the kingdom. Do you think it's possible for people to be selfish sometimes? Maybe these guys were selfish and they wanted to know what's, you know, you're talking about this whole thing coming, right? The end is near. What's our position going to be, you know, with you? Where am I going to be? And, you know, and if I was Jesus, I would have said, hello, were you just not listening? Listen to this promise. But he never responds that way. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which is in God's authority. Amen? Here's the deal, folks. We don't have to know the whole thing. We don't have to know everything. Some people want to know it all. Amen? But we need to trust the Lord and trust in his word. But they were distracted. It's almost like they never heard a word he said. This bothered me, right? And as I read this, I wonder, why was their comment such a distracting one? Why didn't they celebrate? Sometimes there's a reason to celebrate. I know for the people who gave their heart to the Lord, we should throw a party. How many like having parties? Woohoo! I think for the people who give their heart to the Lord, we should throw a party. Amen? You're all invited to Chuck's house after. But they didn't. It was a distracting one. So why was it such a distracting comment? You know, I thought about that. And maybe you would have a different opinion, but I'm the speaker today. I believe it was a distraction of the devil. Distraction is a powerful tool of the devil, right? And I got a couple verses I want to read here for you. Let's look up John 8:44, okay? We're going to go through this quick here, hopefully. John 8:44. It says, the second part of that, of the verse is, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, right? And then we look at Revelation 12:9. It says here, so the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him, right? And then we look at John 10:10. Right? It says, a thief does not come except to steal and to destroy, right? And I've asked this question before in the church here. Who is the thief? Who is the thief referred to? And some people say, well, that's the devil. But it doesn't say the devil. Anything that would come in between you and your relationship with the Lord is a thief. It can be attitudes. It could be unforgiveness. It could be bitterness. All these things could be the thief that comes in between you and your relationship with God. A thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He's not going to be happy until he fully destroys. He's not going to give up. His job is to deceive, to murder, to wreak havoc, to keep people from accepting Jesus, keeping believers distracted from God's intended purpose, all for one reason, to extend his existence on earth. If I was the devil, which I'm not, I'm going to say that right now, I would know that God cannot lie. Amen? Numbers 23:19 is, God is not a man that he should lie. Right? Titus 1:2, it says, God who cannot lie. God's word always comes to pass. And this is a good one. If I was the devil, I wouldn't know what the Bible would say about me. Does anybody agree with that? I don't care. If I was the devil, I wouldn't know what the Bible says about me. It says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Do you think he wants to go? The devil doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to go there. He's a liar, and he tries to discredit all this good and godly so that people will not be saved and serve the Lord in power. God's word does not change. In Mark 13:10 it says, and the gospel must be preached first to all nations. Matthew 24:14 it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. If I was a devil and I knew that my end was predestined, I would do everything in my power to prolong my end by stopping the gospel from reaching the lost. My mandate as a devil would be to stop the gospel. The devil's survival depends on it. In 2 Peter 3:11 and 12 it says, we are to look for and hastening the coming day of the Lord. We are to look for that day. We are to hasten that day and to make that day. And I believe with every soul saved, that day draws closer. Glory, hallelujah. And Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22:7 says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22:20 says, surely I am coming quickly. Have we got the message? He's coming quickly. We may not see it, but he's still coming quickly. It's just like the disciples when they fell asleep. Just because they fell asleep, it didn't mean that Jesus wasn't going to accomplish the purpose on the cross. Hallelujah. And just because we may be asleep, Jesus is still coming. And while we wait for his return, he's waiting for his church to go into the world and win the lost. We say, come, Lord Jesus. And I've said this before, you know what Jesus would say if he was here today? Go, church! That's what he'd say. Go, church! Boy, we get excited here. The word hasten, right? Hasten. The root meaning is to pursue. It implies some kind of motion, right? Alarm, to be urgent, swift, to speedily, suddenly, to swoop with upon. There needs to be an urgency to win the lost. And I don't think that there is like there could be. If I was a devil, I would be totally committed to keep the church from taking the gospel to the world so my end would not come. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan has blinded the world. What we need to do is ask God, would you please lift the veil, that they would see the light of the glorious gospel. Four people tonight here today, praise God, God lifted their veil. And they saw the value in knowing Jesus, and they saw the wonder of the cross and the resurrection, and they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For you guys that gave your heart to the Lord today, the veil's been lifted. And now life begins for you. Hallelujah. But I think there's more than one veil. I think there's a veil for the unbeliever, but there can be the veil for the believer. Because some of us walk around like we got something over our face. Because we're distracted in ways that are not honoring to God. With our time, with our resources, and how we seek the Lord. I know Crystal and I, we go on these mission trips. I said, sometimes we go on these. When we went to Labrador last year, we never even had enough money to get to Labrador. But regardless of other people's involvement, guess what? God got us there. God got us there. But my heart cries out for those who have been distracted and they're not receiving the blessings that God has for them. We got a fundraiser coming up in 2 weeks on the 17th of September. Come, Make it a priority. We're going out there winning people to Christ, and we need your help. Right? We do. It's that simple. You know, things like we need another motorhome. Right? This is not for us. This is a tool to win people to Christ. We're still going to do it. If I got to put Crystal in a wheelbarrow, we're going to go. And that's the way it is. But we're not going to stop. But you can be part of it. You can be part of the church by signing up at the back and getting involved in the church. You can be part of the solution and not part of the problem. God, remove the veil from our eyes that we can see clearly what direction you want us to go, what you want us to do. If I was a devil, and I probably am very light at what I say here, and this is only in my humanity that I'm saying this. If I was a devil, I can only think up these things. I would lie, mock, imitate, gear, hate, accuse, deceive, distract to keep my mission. If I was a devil, there'd be about six or a dozen things that I would do, and I'm going to talk on a few because I know our time is getting on. I didn't wear a watch today. Does anybody have a watch on? Okay, don't look at it. If I was a devil, I would marginalize missions. I'd have a mission program, not a mission dynamic. I'm so thankful that our church is a mission-based church, that we love sending people out. That we just don't tell people that, you know, go, but we get behind them. Amen? This is so important. Listen, we have a very short time to do big things for God. Life is so short, and life is so short, small time to accomplish big things for Christ. Missions is very important. People, you know, we used to go on trips, right, and we'd come back and they'd say, how was your holiday? And after a while, I'd say, it's great. I'd just stop saying, we're missionaries and we're out there doing God's work. How was your holiday? I'd say, it's great. Do you want to come next time? Then you'll see how much of a holiday it is. All your days off, and I got a ministry in mechanics I don't even want. We're always in the garage fixing this and fixing that. I'd have a mission department, not a mission dynamic. Winning souls needs to be a passion for the church. In our church history, I think around 15,000, 1,500, Shane, you probably could correct me on this, but do it later, okay? The church history, about 300 years, not many missionaries were sent out. And I read somewhere it was because I guess the known church was surrounded by Muslims, whatever. But they say that they didn't go out because they were taking the time to purify the doctrine. How long does it take? 300 years. Give me a break. We're just good at making excuses. If I was a devil, I would keep the church so busy there'd be no time for missions, for home or overseas, right? And if I was a devil, I would focus on building and doing things and putting our finances in that instead of the least, the last, and the lost. Number two, if I was a devil, I'd have Christians focus on this world, not the next. Now listen to this. If I was a devil, I'd have Christians focused on retirement. Stockpiling money and stuff, not thinking about eternity, not thinking about the gospel. Thinking about your own self and got to build up this and make sure I have enough for my retirement. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. In Matthew 6:21 it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Romans 14:12 it says, so each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's going to be a day of reckoning. In 2 Corinthians 4:18 it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're dealing with eternal stuff. If I was a devil, I'd get people focused on themselves and their own needs, and now, not eternity. When I led Crystal's father to the Lord when he was 73 years old, one thing that he took pride in, that he was prepared for retirement. GICs and RSPs and pensions and everything, right? And there's nothing wrong with being wise that way. But he was lost. And I said, you've been preparing your whole life for retirement, and if things haven't turned out the way you thought they would, have they? He said, no. He said, three boats with cancer, Crystal's mom is clinically blind, and the dreams that they had of their golden retirement is not so golden. And I said, well, you've been preparing your whole life for eternity, or for retirement. What about eternity? Have you thought about eternity? He says, no. What's that? What's eternity? And the devil wants us to concentrate on today and our own needs and stuff. He doesn't want us thinking about eternity, right? If I was a devil, I'd get people focused on themselves. I would. Number three, if I was a devil, I would get people to have misplaced priorities. Now, hang on there. We're just about done. Maybe. If I was a devil, I'd get people to have misplaced priorities, right? I would encourage selfish opinions in the church. If I was a devil, I would promote individualism. If I was a devil, I'd have roast pastor for lunch every Sunday. If I was a devil, I would encourage people to spend to the end, to shop till they drop, to buy till they fly. Spend it all on yourself. I would teach that prosperity is the purpose for the next possession. I'm saving up for a boat. I'm saving up for a car. I'm saving up for a motorcycle. I'm saving up for the gospel. When's the last time you heard someone say, I'm saving up to support a missionary? Boy, she's quiet in here now. And in Matthew 6, it talks about not laying up for ourselves treasure on earth, right? If I was a devil, I would get people to invest in other things than the gospel. If I was a devil, I would encourage people just to play church. Just come to church, you know, once a month is good enough. You're showing up. You're putting in time. As long as you put up a good face, as long as you show up every once in a while, people get to know your face, you're fine, buddy. If I was a devil, that's how I'd have people think, right? If I was a devil, I would encourage fighting and conflict in the church. Oh, I'd be at the center of that. I'd push and I'd encourage. If I was a devil, I would love to split a church. As a matter of fact, if I was a devil, I wouldn't stop till the doors close. It's happened. We've been to a lot of churches. They're no longer open. They're no longer open. Closed. If I was the devil, I'd change fashion every 4 months. Oops. Here's the deal. I'm probably in trouble already. Terrible time to have a message like this before the fundraiser, but I'm going to go over broke. How many pair of shoes do we wear at the same time? How many pairs of shoes do we really need? How many jackets? How many pants? How many suits? How many dresses do we need? I think in a lot of cases, we all are overkilled in that area, where we could use that for the glory of Christ. There again, where's your heart for the gospel? If I was a devil, I would tell people to hoard it when other people are in need. If I was a devil, I would keep people out of their Bible and off their knees. I would keep them so busy watching TV and listening to radio that they wouldn't have a chance to hear my voice. You know, have you ever come into your prayer time with the Lord where you're just quiet? We don't have to do all the talking. There's times that God would love to speak to us. Amen? But we need to be quiet to hear His voice. And if I was a devil, I would hang on to money and not help missionaries hasten the coming of Christ. We visited one church once. I think I might have mentioned this in the past. That we found out that they had an outreach fund. And in this outreach fund, they had $500,000. Let me tell you something. That's not an outreach fund. That's a spiritual savings account. If it was an outreach fund, it would be empty. It would be empty. In Luke 20, 16 it says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. Number four, if I was a devil, I would see to it that the Great Commission became the Great Omission. I would tell people to stay at home. I'd tell people there's plenty of time, like that song Crystal sang. There's plenty of time. There's always next Sunday to give my heart to the Lord. There's always next month. There's always next year. And death is no respecter of persons or age. If I was a devil, I'd tell people, yeah, I would encourage them to be complacent and leave it to the other guy, right? There would be no urgency to win the lost, right? And really, time is going fast. If you don't believe me, go get your high school picture and look in the mirror and look at the picture and tell me that you haven't changed. Where did all the hair go? In 1 Corinthians 7:29, it says, but this I say, brethren, time is short. In Psalms 39, 4 and 5, it says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. For indeed you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Johnny Cash wrote a song. He sang it. I don't think he wrote it, but it's called Hurt. And this is close to when he was dying. And he said, what have I become? You can have it all, my empire of dirt. He counted everything that he accumulated at the end of his life, dirt. We get to stay with the Cash family when we're in Nashville, and we stay with Johnny's sister, and she tells us a lot of things about the family. And one time she came home, she said, I just talked to Johnny. She walked through his house, and he was dying. He was in his bed upstairs. And he wanted to see Joanne, so Joanne came over to his house and was walking through the house. And as she was walking through the house, she saw all the stuff that he had. And he had like 10 or 12 houses all around the world, but this one in Nashville was just huge. And she walked through the house and saw all these expensive pieces of furniture and just unbelievable. And she walked up to the bedroom. She said, Johnny, he says, man, I just noticed you sure got a lot of stuff. He called her baby sister. He says, do you want a baby sister? And she said, no, I don't want it. He said, either do I. Either do I. Man, what we call treasure. If I was a devil, priorities would be wrong. Everything else would be important except the gospel. If I was a devil, I would get Christians to pray for the harvest. Praying for harvest that's already ripe. When the wheat is ready to harvest, are the farmers praying for the harvest? No. They're looking for opportunities to bring in laborers to bring in the harvest. And every night when we sleep, thousands of people go to hell, lost without Christ. Number six, this last one. If I was a devil, I would tell people that the Holy Spirit was sent here just to bless them. Not taking advantage of the power God has given us. You know, we had a prayer meeting a couple weeks ago. And one of my brothers in the prayer meeting prayed this prayer. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. That's my prayer for this church. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. Don't you think it's time? Fall fresh on us. If I was a devil, I would see to it that there was a bless me attitude in the church. Bless me, appoint me, anoint me, prosper me, build me, satisfy, love me, enlighten me, thrill me, heal me, inspire me, grace me, hug me, all for me, me, and me. We got to get off this me stuff. We got to get off this, what about me? What about me? What about my needs? And what about this? What about that? We need to focus on the Lord. See, the devil's doing a job. Can't you see that? The devil's doing a number. And he has no power over us, only what we allow him to have. He's under our feet. Jesus gets his disciples back on track. Yes, they were distracted, but he gets them back on track like he wants to get us back on track. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Last Sunday, we had a message on missions. And I agree with the brother, it starts at home. It's got to start at home. It starts here. Holy Spirit power. What? It's the power to witness, to lead people to Christ, to give to God's work unrestricted, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, even the power to lay one's life down for the gospel. Don't think that our young brother who is on his way to Africa is not putting his life in danger by going there. Because he is. But he loves God more. He surrendered his life to God. He said, God, take my life and use it for your glory. Like many other missionaries in the generations have, martyrs for Christ, where they're willing to give up their life for him. Right? The word power in the Webster's dictionary is authority to act. God's given us authority to act. Listen, folks, and this is the way it is. It's time to make some new decisions, to put away the toys and the mirrors, and to serve the Lord, right? We need to prioritize our lives with Christ and know that every believer is in full-time ministry. All you who are confessing Christians, you're in full-time work. You know, think, well, I never went to Bible school. I never went to seminary. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? There's nothing wrong with Bible school. There's nothing wrong with seminary if that's where God wants you to go. But you can't use that as an excuse not to serve God. You know, some things, even though some of us seem to be asleep in North America, like the disciples were the night Jesus went through this, Jesus still accomplished his task. And even though some of us seem to be asleep and we could be a little more active in what we're doing for God, God is still saving millions all over the world. Hallelujah. He's accomplishing his purpose. And either we can be part of that or we don't have to be. Either we can be part of the solution or part of the problem. But Brazil, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Argentina, a lot of these places have seen great growth in salvations. I've heard up to 1 million people a month are coming to Christ in China. It's like the finish line is in sight, right? Third world countries are sending out missionaries 5 times faster than we are now. And while they're sending out right, missionaries, right, into the world, focused on evangelism, what are we doing in North America? The North American Christians are picking out new cars and new boats and new homes and planning more vacations. There's nothing wrong with having stuff as long as it doesn't have a hold of you. As long as it's not your God. There's nothing wrong with going on a vacation. But we need to make Christ a priority in our life. And evangelism needs to be a priority. And there needs to be a passion to win the lost. We want to be a church of disciples. First, we got to save them. God saved them, but we need to lead people to Christ. We lead people to Christ. Yes, we can. We have people here that are more than willing and able to disciple, but we need to be a church of soul winners. Winning the lost has got to be a priority to our church. The disciples did listen by faith. They did obey by faith. They did receive the promise by faith, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And since then, millions have come to Christ. Millions. You know, when Jesus met the woman at the well and she found Christ, she went to her village and she said, I found the Christ. Come back and meet him. Right? And he was down low. The well was down low, but the village was up a little high. And as the disciples came and gathered around Jesus, what he said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. I want to tell you guys, It has never been better, ever better, to share your faith than now. More doors have opened up to share our faith than ever before. Now is the time to walk through. Christian Life went to Walmart. 180 Walmarts across North America, singing in the marketplace, in malls, Zellers, the Real Canadian Superstore, the marketplace. Who would have thought the gospel could get in there? It's God's favor. God's favor has come to go out and spread the gospel. It's my hope and prayer that, man, that we would just prioritize our lives. Souls would become an issue to this church, to every believer, and that we would begin to continue to seek the Lord and get His face, put our focus and energy on Him, do a number on us. I guess it's time to quit because my battery's given out. I thought someone might say hallelujah. I know there's people here tonight that have given their heart to the Lord, right? And that's awesome. Now remember, after the service, we're not going to keep you long. Those of you who have given your heart to Jesus, I want you to come up here in the corner. Shane, you're the discipling pastor. Would you come up here with them, please, when it's over? And then we'll see that you have Bibles, and we'll want to pray with you. But I want to talk to the church for a second. I love you guys. I love my church. And I'm tired of seeing the devil beat us up. It's enough. That's it. It's got to stop. We've been distracted too long. And it's time to move on. I said to Crystal years ago, when people would, I'd say, you know, get on board with us or get out of the way. We're serving God. And that's what we have to do here. We have to get on and serve the Lord. Because people's lives are at stake. And while we're busy arguing and stuff like that, we got to move on with the Lord. If things need to be taken care of, God can do it. We just need to put our focus and take our request to Him. Amen? That's the deal. We need to put our faith and trust in the Lord. You're a Christian here today, and maybe you would like to reconnect with God in a special way. Perhaps you're here today and you've not been living 100% for the Lord, and He's not been a priority in your life. But you know that it's time to get right with God. You know that it's time to do business with the Master. We don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask you to do this. I think I'm going to ask Alan to come up and play on the piano here. Something soft. That I'm going to challenge you today. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ today, afresh, perhaps you just want a fresh touch from the Lord, and that prayer, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. If that's your prayer. And perhaps there are some down here, you're right with God, and you have a wonderful relationship with Him. And you know what? Praise God. But maybe there's some here today that have not made the Lord a priority in their life, and they want to. I'm going to ask you to do this. As Alan is playing the piano, I just want you to get up out of your chair and come up front here. And in doing that, you're saying, Lord, either I want to get right with You, or it's time for me to move out in faith and serve the Lord in a more meaningful way. So as God's speaking to you, I encourage you to get up and just come forward. Let's all stand anyway. Stand up. That's right. I know for me, I'm the first one. I want a more deeper relationship with the Lord. I want to hear His voice. And I want to be sharp for Him. And I want to be used of Him in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. That's my prayer. How about you? If God's been speaking to you, just come out and just come up. I know it's something we don't normally do, but just come. Come. Just come up. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Don't forget those who gave their heart to the Lord. Before you leave, I want you